Thank you, Christian. The word of the Lord there in Ezekiel, the Lord himself describing the false shepherds who were supposed to be preaching and guiding his people. And then the Lord said, I'm going to do it myself since you're doing such a bad job. Our sermon this morning is from Psalm 23. So I encourage you, please have your Bibles open. Open, reading, looking at Psalm 23. The great shepherd is going to be revealed to us this morning. If you're wondering the reason I'm up here, Pastor Doug and his family are getting ready to head to Korea Ireland in just a short little bit. So I'm filling him in for him this morning. We're in Psalm 23, but we're not going to get through the whole thing. So today we'll get part one. Lord willing, next week we'll get part two. So let's begin by reading Psalm 23. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the assurance that you give us in this song of King David. It is just as true today as it was when he wrote it, if you are our shepherd. So Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take your words this morning, sacred words of Scripture, your true words, and bless us, encourage us, challenge us. Lord, help us to be thinking, as we hear your word, thinking of the things you want us to think about and to consider what you would have us to consider. Use your word in our lives this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, I don't imagine this was an unfamiliar reading for anyone here this morning. It is the most familiar psalms that we have in the Bible. It's often read at funerals. I remember when I would do hospital visits, quite often I was tempted to read Psalm 23 to the person there getting ready to have an operation, but I was afraid they would think, am I going to die? Why is he reading Psalm 23? You possibly have memorized this psalm. It's not that long, 6 verses. It's a great psalm to memorize. You see it in many times in houses on plaques or on paintings. The Lord is my shepherd. And what it is, it's a song. Psalms are songs. And this is a particular song about the Lord that was written by King David. And so we'll look in the first verse, a psalm of David. That's part of the verse. It might be kind of like a heading in your Bible, but it's part of the scripture. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I heard someone say that they memorized that as a child, but it was confusing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why shouldn't we want the Lord as our shepherd? But that's not what it says, because there's a semicolon, if you look, in the middle of the verse. 2 separate phrases. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. The semicolon is important there. Want, I shall not want. We might say, I shall not lack. In other words, I'll have everything that I need. And it is because David could say that he has no lack of anything, he shall not want, because the Lord is his shepherd. Because David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He is everything that I need. And actually, in the Hebrew, of course, it doesn't say the Lord. In Hebrew, it's the tetragrammaton, the 4 Hebrew letters, that makes up the Lord's name. So accurately, and that's why I appreciate translations like the Legacy Standard Bible and the Holman Standard Bible, they translate it super accurately. Yahweh is my shepherd. Not just a Lord, any Lord, the Lord, but specifically Yahweh God. He is my shepherd. And why do I say that? Well, if we look at Exodus, and you don't have to turn, I'm going to be reading the several different passages, and in your bulletin you have a blank sheet. If you want to write those down instead of turning and following, you can read them when you get home and study this for yourself. But when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," verse 13, Exodus 3:13, Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?'" So God, who do I say sent me? What is your name? Because the Israelites had been living in Egypt for 400 years by now, and they're familiar with Ra and all the gods of the many gods of the Egyptians. But what is our God's name? Verse 15, God said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.'" And then the Lord says, "Yahweh, this is my name forever, and this is how I am to be remembered throughout all generations." And so most translations change the name of God, Yahweh, to a title, the Lord. And I don't like that, but that's just the way it is. But David is saying, Yahweh, specifically Yahweh, you are my shepherd. Is God, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, is he a shepherd? What is a shepherd? You know, a shepherd is someone who watches sheep. God is described as a shepherd, our shepherd. And so if he is the shepherd, who are the sheep? Well, that would be us. We who know God, we who follow him. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So when David, King David, describes Yahweh God as his shepherd, David is saying, "I am his sheep." He's speaking of a relationship that God had with David and a relationship that David had with God. I mean, David certainly knew what a shepherd was. He was a shepherd when he was a young boy, the youngest of his father's sons. He was out in the fields tending the sheep. And the shepherd owns the sheep. The sheep do not own the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The sheep do not care for the shepherd. Take care of him. Sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. And when I say we follow our great shepherd, God, sometimes. But that's what we were made to do. We are made to follow God, to obey him, to live in his ways, to love him, to serve him, to appreciate him. But we don't always. There's that song, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It." Prone to leave the Lord I love. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, I think you can attest to that. We don't always follow God in all of our ways. And that's true with literal sheep. Literal sheep don't always follow the shepherd. What are sheep like? Anyone here ever raise sheep? Keep sheep? I haven't, but I've dealt with sheep, and I can tell you that sheep are stupid. Yes, they're cute when they're little. They're cuddly, but they are stupid. They're dumb. They're clueless. They are ignorant of the danger that surrounds them. They have to be led everywhere, led to food, led to water, led to safety. And a good shepherd trains the sheep to follow him. And that's what Jesus says, speaking of himself as the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. Verse 1. Let's read all of it. He speaks of himself as the shepherd of his sheep. Verse 4, when he has brought out all of his sheep out of the pen, leading them to pasture, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When shepherds, true shepherds, live with the sheep, spend time with them, there's a relationship. They know them by name. And they simply can call out, and his sheep, even if they're mixed in with a bunch of other people's sheep, his sheep know his voice, and they will follow him. Now, if they don't know the person's voice, they won't follow him. That's been my sheep herding experience. Linda and I had some friends that bought some sheep to put on their farm. And they said, would you like to come with us and help us pick up the sheep? Oh, that sounds fun. And the sheep were in a barn, and we backed the truck up to it and opened the doors, and those sheep would not go in the truck. They found a way to escape, and they're running through the fields, and we're chasing the sheep, and they won't come. They're dumb, okay? They don't do what they're supposed to do. They won't listen to you if they don't belong to you. Now, David, of course, speaking of Yahweh as his shepherd and he himself being the sheep, how are we naturally like sheep? Well, what does the Lord say in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We're not following God. We're going our own way. We have turned everyone to his own way. So human beings are like sheep. We also have it in Psalm 119. Verse 176, the psalmist here says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, and says to the Lord, seek your servant. Look for me. I'm supposed to be following you, Lord. I haven't been, so please seek me out. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why does David have all that he needs? Why is he content? And that's what these first few verses are talking about. It's describing contentedness. He is content because he is following his shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. David says, I am allowing him to lead me in my life. I keep my eyes on him. I'm following God, staying close to him. I'm not wandering away from him. I'm not following my own desires, not choosing my own path in life. I'm following the Lord. So it's good to pause and ask ourselves, can we say this today, truthfully? Yahweh God is my shepherd. I am following him. Not everyone can say that. Not everyone will say that. Certainly, no atheist will say, the Lord is my shepherd. They don't even believe in the Lord. They don't believe in God. Muslims would not say, Yahweh is my shepherd. They're following the teachings of Allah, a false god and a false prophet. Hindus would not say, Yahweh is my shepherd. Hindus worship millions of gods. I don't know which one they choose to follow each day. Hedonists. What's a hedonist? Someone who lives for pleasure. They would not say, the Lord is my shepherd. They would say, the world is what's guiding me. Fame. I'm following after fame. I'm following wealth. I'm following success, sports, whatever it is. Most people, even religious people, honestly would say, I'm my own shepherd. I lead myself. I make my own decisions. I do what I think is right. I follow my own desires. Even as we who have been made the sheep of God, we can stop following him. And if we are living that way, not following Yahweh, but following our own desires, we will always be in want. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. We're following anything or anyone else in life. We'll always be in want. You'll never have enough. You'll never have it all. There will always be more for you to chase. Bigger things, better things, newer things. Better things like a better relationship, better jobs, better friends. More. I need more security in my life. I need more pleasure. I need more joy. I need more peace in my life. But following anything but God will never satisfy us. We will never be content. We'll never be at peace. We'll never be satisfied, just like we've been hearing from the book of Ecclesiastes. Chasing anything in this world under the sun other than God is meaningless. It's empty. It's a chasing after the wind. It cannot satisfy us. David says, Yahweh is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. Why is he satisfied? Well, he tells us a little bit why in verse 2. He, Yahweh, God, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, David's kind of describing himself as a sheep. For me, yeah, if I'm camping, it's nice to be in green pastures and have still water there. But David is talking about how a sheep goes through life. What does a sheep need? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures are fields that are full of clover or alfalfa or whatever good grass a sheep likes to eat. So the sheep is satisfied because the Lord has led him to a place where there's lots of food, good food, healthy food for the sheep. And David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Why would you lie down if you're eating your food? Well, someone that knows sheep very well tells us that sheep will never lay down if they're frightened, if they're scared, if they're hungry, if they're distressed. They're not going to lay down. And that's a picture of so many people in our world today, never resting, never laying down. They're running here. They're chasing after that. They're busy, busy, busy. Their life is hectic. Their life is anxious. They are insecure. They're worried. They're scrolling and scrolling on their phones. They're seeking. They're never resting. David says, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord doesn't lead him to a desert wasteland where all the sheep can eat is thorns and briars and tumbleweeds. No green, lush, healthy food for the sheep. The sheep is full. The sheep lays down because he's content. He's been cared for. And when we follow and we trust our shepherd, he leads us to a life of fullness and security. Contentedness. That's the way God wants us to live, following him. It's a better way to live instead of always striving for things, chasing things that will not satisfy. Now, don't get me wrong. When David says, I shall not want, I'm not saying follow God and you'll have everything you want. Your desires, your dreams will all come true. Your health and wealth will be perfect. You'll have worldly success. That's what Joel Osteen preaches. It's not what the Bible says. We don't follow God to get everything we want. We follow God to get God because he's everything we need. We follow God and allow him to provide for us. And so someone might hear that, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, so I don't have to do anything. God's going to take care of me. He's going to feed me. He's going to pay my bills, and I just sit here. Well, no, this is the cliff notes here. If you're following the Lord, he'll probably lead you to school so you can get an education and then learn how to live in this world. He'll probably lead you to a job so you can earn money to have the things that you need. That's the Lord's leading. Following God in our lives, focusing on him, will result in contentedness no matter our situation. it's counterintuitive. I remember when Linda and I had first gotten married, and all of a sudden she says, we're going to have a baby, and it's time for Mandy, our oldest daughter, to be born. I was working at a little car shop down in Milford, and she went to the hospital, had Mandy. The next day, Mandy had to go to Children's Hospital. Something was wrong with her. We had no insurance, had pretty much no money. So the next day I spoke to my boss and said, hey, I need to leave work early today because I got to go see my wife at this hospital and I got to see my daughter in this hospital. And he said, that's not a problem. Actually, we're letting you go. It was 1980s. The car industry was down. You're out of a job. Oh, and I had sold our car to get Linda in the hospital to have the baby. So got no car, got no job, got no insurance. I got a wife and a baby in different hospitals. My mother came to pick me up to take me to the hospital because I had sold my car. And she said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I said, by the way, I lost my job. And she's freaking out. But I was not worried. I was calm. Because I knew that God had this, and he worked it all out. We can trust God. We can trust our shepherd. He watches over us. He cares for us. And when I stay close to him, I am secure. He says he leads me, verse 2, beside the still waters, or he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What are still waters? Well, it's the opposite picture of a raging torrent of floodwaters, dangerous rapids and fast currents. It's a picture of calm, clear, gently flowing stream where the sheep can safely walk into it and wade into it and drink good, clean, healthy water without being in danger of getting caught in the current and swept downstream and drowning. David says, God provides for my safety. When I stay close to him, I'm secure. He chooses my path in life. He guides my steps. He plans my ways. I simply have to follow him and trust him. Now, if he always leads us beside the still waters, does that mean that danger, trouble, hardship will never come into our life? No, of course it does. And David deals with that later in this psalm. But here, the focus is on the character of our shepherd. Yahweh will provide for us. He will guide us into good pastures. He will care for us if we follow him. And again, let's just take a minute and ask ourselves, am I really following God? Do I fully trust God? Every area of my life, every circumstance that I'm going through, when life seems uncertain, I don't have a clear path set out in front of me, do I really fully trust God? Am I really living for God? Or am I honestly living for myself? Can you truly say today, can we say, Yahweh is my shepherd? He's all that I need. At different times in our lives, even in the Christian life, we need to stop and examine ourselves. We need to take a close look at where we are to evaluate our lives. And so for everyone here, have you made the Lord your shepherd? Because until we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and turn to God, repent, turn to God, we can't say the Lord is my shepherd. You might be able to say the Lord is my mom and dad's shepherd. The Lord has been my grandparents' shepherd, but he's not my shepherd because I'm not following him. Maybe at one time you were following God, but now you're wandered away, gotten distracted and begun following something else. And there's different ways to follow. The right way to follow is right behind. It's easy for the shepherd when the sheep are following right there. He can see them. He can see if they're sick, if they're hurt. He can see what they need. A lot of people will follow God, but from a distance. God is remote to them. They're kind of disconnected from God. Yeah, I'm following. He's up there somewhere, but I'm just kind of following the herd. I'm just kind of wandering here, going that general direction. I'm just following out of habit. That's not good. That's not how God wants us to follow him. Is God just a shepherd to us? Or to you, is he my shepherd? My shepherd. Because that's what he desires. And as the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, we need to examine our lives. To be honest with ourselves, are we really wholeheartedly trusting, following God, or are we satisfied with just a little religion? Very, very important question. When I first pastored 25 years ago, a church member complained after a few weeks. They said, "Pastor Bill, all you do is talk about God." I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, and you might be saying the same thing about David here. All you do is talk about God. What are we going to hear about Jesus? The Son of God, the Savior of the world. This is an Old Testament book, an Old Testament psalm written by King David, expressing his trust and dependence on Yahweh, the God of Israel, the true and living God. The person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, had not yet been revealed to David. Now, Jesus is pictured throughout the Old Testament, almost in every book. He is alluded to. There are prophecies, there are shadows and types of Christ, but he's not named here. And on David's side of the cross, BC, before Christ, believers trusted in Yahweh, God, for salvation. They believed him when he promised them a Redeemer. And again, it's found throughout the Old Testament. Now, for us today, Yahweh is our shepherd when we come to him by trusting in the one whom he has sent, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Allow him to be our Lord and Savior. And so David here is focusing on his relationship with God, pictured by David following Yahweh, trusting him wholeheartedly. And because Yahweh was David's shepherd, we read in verse 3, he, Yahweh God, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. He restores my soul. Your translation might say, he renews my spirit. What does that mean? So I thought I would look it up. I type in Google. What does it mean? He restores my soul. And you know how it is on the computer? Bing, up pops this AI assistant. Artificial intelligence. I don't trust it. I don't like it. I hate it. But I thought I would read what it says. The AI assistant says, he restores my soul, refers to the idea that God provides comfort, renewal, and healing to individuals during difficult times. Like, well, that's pretty good. That's what the Bible says. This phrase found in Psalm 23 emphasizes the spiritual restoration and peace that comes from a relationship with God, especially when one is feeling burdened or lost. He restores my... Now, I did check, and the references that AI used to get it were biblical references, so okay, you were there. I still don't trust it. But he restores my soul. Is your soul, would you say your soul is restored today? Are you comforted? Are you at peace with God and peace with the world and peace with yourself? Are you calm? Are you resting in God's care for you? Or would you say, man, that's what I want. That's what I need, because I'm not. My soul is not restored. My soul is troubled. I'm burdened. I'm overwhelmed. Maybe your soul needs to be restored by God. Maybe your soul needs to be restored to God. And so if if your soul is not being restored, there's two options. One, if you're saved, you need to return to following your Savior daily. Or you need to look to the shepherd and become one of his sheep. Now, if we're a believer, saved, born again, we can become distracted. We can follow away from, we can wander away from following our shepherd. And so David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Paths of righteousness, paths of right living, not just following rules, but living, doing the things we know pleases our shepherd. And God leads us to live that way. So another question, are we still following God in paths of righteousness? That's God's plan for us as believers. If he is our shepherd, we are to follow him. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this, following God, suffering, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Verse 24, he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, walk in paths of righteousness, for you were straying like sheep. You were wandering away from following him, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Do you find yourself straying? Return. Return and follow your shepherd. I encourage you to do that today. That's for us believers who were following closely, wholeheartedly, and maybe find ourselves kind of lagging behind. God is not as precious to us as he has been. His will is not as important to us as it used to be. Return to the Savior, to the shepherd of your souls, and he will restore your soul. But what if you're here today and Yahweh's not your shepherd? What is there for you? Well, make him your shepherd. Stop leading yourself to destruction. Stop following the world to everlasting destruction. Repent. Turn around. Stop going your way and go God's way. Go to God. Repent. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, whom he has given to you. Jesus tells us about that in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. He's talking about the fold, the barn for the sheep, where the sheep are kept safe when they're inside it. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. For Yahweh God to be your shepherd, Jesus says, you've got to come through me. And he tells us how in verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus saying here, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to shed my blood so that your sins can be forgiven and you can be reconciled to the great shepherd, to God. For us, he does this. Verse 14, I am, again, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what God has done for you, so that he can be your shepherd. Come to him through the only door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then down in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know Jesus' voice? Is he talking to you? Are you following him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. David says, Yahweh is my shepherd. If we're born again, we can truly say, Jesus is my shepherd. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Are you one of his sheep? Have you come to him for salvation? Our Heavenly Father, as we have looked into your word, Lord, I pray that we've been encouraged by this song of David, written by one who knew you because he belonged to you. You graciously saved him and led him throughout his lifetime, and he encourages us to do the same. Lord, if you truly are our shepherd, maybe we've been lagging behind, Lord, please draw us close. Restore our soul. Remind us that we're to be following you in paths of righteousness. And may your Holy Spirit prompt and lead us and enable us to do that. And Lord, if there's one here today that has never made you their shepherd, they've never really followed you, Lord, may they do it today. You tell us in your word, behold, today is the day of salvation. If you hear the Spirit speaking, do not harden your heart. Come today. Lord, we pray for your salvation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.